TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents Winning Wednesdays, featuring John Kelly and Ken Weitzner. This is the show that covers the latest sports gambling topics from a worldwide perspective and is dedicated to the hearts and minds of sports enthusiasts everywhere. Now, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner on TalkZone.com.
Greetings from Las Vegas and welcome to another edition of Winning Wednesdays. John Kelly here along with podcast partner Ken Weitzner, who's checking in from his home in Chesapeake, Virginia. Ken, good day and welcome to the program.
Good day, John. It's a pleasure to be here after last week's 3-0 performance. And I posted a few days ago that it's just a great time to be a sports betting fan. There's just so much happening in the world of sports that I'm excited about the Major League Baseball playoffs. We've got college basketball on the horizon, and we've got NFL and college football really getting into gear now, John.
It is a wonderful time of year, and I read that post on your sports betting forum there at EOG.com. I did note that Winky Duck came in from California and said, "Hey, Ken, you forgot about the NHL. The NHL season is underway as well. I'm not into hockey, but well, I don't step on anybody's toes when it comes to liking a niche sport. Winky Duck can make money betting hockey. God bless him."
I concur, but that's not a sport I bet, so I'm going to pass on any comments relating to hockey as well, John. I bet one or two hockey games, I think, in my career.
And you bet very few baseball games as well, Ken, but today, just a couple of minutes before the show, I heard about a transaction you made concerning a Major League Baseball playoff game today. Fill our listeners in on what took place just minutes prior to the start of our program.
Well, John, as you know, I have a lot of contacts in the industry, and there's a professional gambler that I respect a lot who primarily bets baseball. And he told me that the weather in Philadelphia today is supposed to be a lot windier than it's being recorded right now on the internet. I think the internet is reporting winds of 20 to 25 miles per hour. The local media says the winds are actually in the 30s. It looks like it's out to left, which in the Philadelphia ballpark means the ball is going to carry big time. The source also has a relative there at the park who confirmed that the wind is indeed blowing big time today as we speak. The source had already taken over 8 minus 15 out there on different various offshore sites. And I went ahead and I put a bet in 2 minutes before we started the show on over 8 minus 16. On the Philadelphia playoff game this afternoon, just based on the weather report I got.
That Philadelphia-Colorado game is the first of three games going today. Note the start times for today's Major League Baseball playoff action. The early game goes at 2:37 Eastern, the middle game of the tripleheader at 6:07 Eastern, and then the late game will go at 9:37 Eastern. That's the game between the Dodgers and Cardinals in Los Angeles, and there are two reasons why, Ken, I like to inform gamblers about start times and major sporting events. One is that the starting time is the post time. It's your last chance to get down and make a wager. So 2:37 Eastern today, the first of the three games going, you know you'll have until 2:37 to bet. And also what I like to do, Ken, I like to avoid all the nonsense and hype and rhetoric that goes into these big sporting events. I very rarely watch these pregame shows that are heavy on commercials and low on content. A lot of what's happened, the preview, I'm already aware of, you know, the matchups and the talk going into the games. I don't need a lot of that talk unless it's talk like you gave me about the wind direction in Philly. I mean, then it's important information. But for the most part, I try and avoid all of the rhetoric prior to a big event.
I'm the same way with you, John. The rhetoric is, you know, over-talked and overanalyzed on ESPN, and I love ESPN, but it's basically information that's for the public and given out for the public to understand and digest. I hope our show goes a little bit beyond that and is for a more advanced type of group of listeners that like to bet on sports rather than listen to sports information that you can get on any other podcast or website.
Our show today, I think, will feature that when our guest Aaron Renning will be coming up at about a quarter past the hour, 20 past the hour. ER, as he's known here in Las Vegas, is a member of Tim Trucial's stable. He's part of that Sports Bevo radio show that's so popular and heard locally on Fox Sports Radio 920. Aaron Running knows baseball, and who better to talk baseball than ER today? And good timing to have him on as the Major League Baseball playoffs begin. We'll ask him what he thought of Game 163 yesterday at the Metrodome when Minnesota eliminated Detroit. Now we'll be forced to wheel back quickly and play the New York Yankees. New York, a prohibitive favorite today. We're going to ask ER about not only today's playoff games, but about the best bet in the division series. We'll see if he has action there. And we'll ask him, too, to make a World Series prediction as well. And, Ken, I think that's the strength of this show. Not only do we have you, you're linked to the shrink. I mean, where else can you get Ken Weitzner's top three plays of the week? And he's 8-4 through 12 selections on the program. And coming off, as he said, that perfect 3-0 week last week, he'll go on record later in the show with his top three plays again. But we have you, but we also have our guest list. And I think that's important to the program, Ken. Aaron Running today, Ted Sobranski next Wednesday. We're going to have a gentleman named Joseph Vandercook visit with us on October 21st. More on Vandercook in a moment. Then on October 28th, handicapper from Northern Nevada, James Monos, will visit, and I'm eager for that first Wednesday in November when we chat with Andy Beyer, one of America's most celebrated horse players. He'll be here the Wednesday before the Breeders' Cup to help us out on that big event. The guest list, Ken, is one of the keys to this program.
And I bet very few people listening have any clue as to who Joseph Vandercook really is. So let me go ahead and clue some of our listeners in right now, because I can't wait to have him on this show in 2 weeks, John. And that would be Mofa Me. I consider Mofa Me to be the best head moderator in the industry, period. There is no one as passionate, there's no one as informed, and there's no one as trustworthy and as reliable that I've worked with over the 12 years I've been online as Mofa Me. And before I forget, he sent me an email today because he does love to handicap himself. And there's a certain situation where he's won all 7 years that he's given out a play dating back to 2002, John. And he wanted to make sure that our listeners got this selection. And this is a Mofa Me selection. And it's his NCAA Play of the Year. There's no charge. He's not a tout. He's just giving it out of, you know, for goodwill. And he says, take Arkansas Auburn over the 65 points. He loves that game. And he just wanted me to make sure that we didn't forget to give it out as one of his best selections of the year. In fact, his very best selection of the year. So that's all I have to say for Joseph Vandercook at this point. We'll have him on in 2 weeks. And I think you'll get to see a different man when you speak to him than what always appears on the forums. Sometimes people can get very misunderstood when posting, and they come across a lot differently when you talk to the man. Mofa Me is one of those gentlemen.
He's a stand-up guy. I had a chance to meet him at Hooters here in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and talk about friendly. I mean, Mofa Me is generous with his time and always interesting in the forums as well. You mentioned the best at what he does. Other moderators that you've had, Ken, who's the second to Mofa Me? If he's clearly the best, who ranks a distant second?
I would have to say the general. He and I worked together for, I guess, about 6 years. I was with the Prescription and EOG, as most listeners know, and I took the general with me when I left the Prescription to EOG, which should speak volumes about what I thought of him. He is probably one of the fairest individuals I've ever come across, very humble, and just someone I could always count on when we had disputes arise between players and sportsbooks. He did a fantastic job. He was extremely objective in his rulings, and I although he's no longer with me, I still have very, very high remarks and feelings and thoughts about the general's work, John. So he would be number two.
You're listening to Winning Wednesdays, John Kelly with Ken Weitzner. We're talking sports and sports gambling. I mentioned Ken's winning week last week, three plays, three winners. You liked Michigan State minus the small spot against Michigan. You were on Idaho over Colorado State. You took points with Idaho over Colorado State. And then in the NFL, you had a winning selection with Denver over Dallas. Job well done. Three plays, three wins. Let me first ask you about that Idaho-Colorado State game, Ken, because I found it interesting that there was money in the market late in the week for Colorado State. And that's a rarity because of the 12 plays you've given out, money goes your way. I believe in 10 of the 12 instances, money is poured in on your side. Why did money come against you in the Idaho-Colorado State game?
Well, my mentor, BW, went ahead and bet on Colorado State late in the week, which I didn't expect to have happen. And when that situation arises, I do one of two things. I either keep the bet I have and just pray that, you know, this is going to be one of the 43% of the time he loses, or I get off the game. But in this case, John, it went through four, which I don't consider to be a key number in football anymore, given the two-point conversion. If it had gone through three or through seven, that's a bit of a different story. But going from 3.5 to 4.5 is significant, but it wasn't significant enough for me to get off this game. I just like the fact that Idaho was coming home, and they were going to be on ESPN for the very first time, and they had something to prove. And when the score was 14-0, I wasn't feeling all that great. But they showed to me a comeback team that they had not had in years. And I'm very upbeat, and I'm very pro-Idaho this year. They're a team on the rise, and they proved it last week against Colorado State. They had every opportunity to fall down against a good Colorado State team, and they didn't. They came back. They won fairly. I believe they were up by 8 late in the game. Colorado State comes down the field, ties it, or tries to tie it with a touchdown, but they fail on the two-point conversion, and they win the game outright, and they deserve to win that game.
Your other college football release, Ken, you liked Michigan State -2 over Michigan. You did get the best of the number there. I saw a closing number of Michigan State 4.5. The money poured in for the Spartans, and it wasn't easy, but we got there in the end. Everyone won with Michigan State. Good number or bad number, because Michigan State beat Michigan by 6 in overtime. Our featured guest last week, Ken, Phil Steele, one of the most recognized college football handicappers in the country. Phil made a case for Michigan. You came over the top and you said, no, I like Michigan State.
Well, it's funny because Fezzik kind of ribbed me on that pick, saying that I had given out accolades on how well I respected Phil Steele, but when it came down to the nuts and bolts, I went ahead with Michigan State, largely because my mentor, Billy Walters, loved Michigan State, and I knew that at the time. And it turned out, you know, in this situation where it was really unfortunate, because the people that took the 4.5 points at the end got robbed. And unfortunately, in college football, that happens a lot more than it does in the NFL because of the structure of the overtime. I wanted to just say that in sports betting, and I think you and I talked about this before the show, John, that it's actually at sometimes right to have both sides of a game and be on the right side. And this is one of those times where taking Michigan State -2 and Michigan +4.5 were the right side. It didn't turn out that way in the final result, but it almost did. And Michigan State kicked a field goal rather than running for a touchdown, the bookmakers would have gotten killed, and then the people that had taken both sides would have been justified with their selections. But there's other situations that are very similar to this, when the line moves a certain number of points, especially across a key number like 3, where taking both sides is justified and correct.
Perfect illustration there by the shrink. You're listening to Winning Wednesdays, John Kelly with Ken Weitzner. One more point about that Michigan-Michigan State game, Ken. In watching that contest, I noticed how draining an effort it was for both teams. The Michigan quarterback, the freshman, Tate Forcier, he'll be around a long time. We'll be handicapping his games for the next 3 or 4 years. Forcier was gassed at the end of that game. In the fourth quarter, he was exhausted into the overtime. He was spent. And yet still, Michigan was able to rally from a 14-point deficit and push that game into overtime. My thoughts on that game, Ken, is that both teams will pay for that effort this coming week. I think that both Michigan and Michigan State are bet against this Saturday. Michigan State has to travel to Illinois to play the Fighting Illini, a team that has not had much success and who is making a change at quarterback. But I think I'll be betting against Michigan State, and I'll also be fading Michigan. Iowa is good. Iowa looked great in their win on the road against Penn State. Took the week off last week against Arkansas State, but they'll come back with a big effort against Michigan. I'm betting against both Michigan and Michigan State on Saturday.
I can't blame you, John. I don't know how in the world Michigan was able to come back and tie Michigan State. It just seemed like all afternoon Michigan State was the right side. They were going to win the game. And, you know, kudos to the Michigan fans and their sports team, because they really had to give an all-out effort to tie the game, and then to lose in dramatic fashion as they did in overtime takes a lot out of a team. And I think your reasoning makes a lot of sense to go against both of these next week. Although I'm not going to give out the teams you mentioned. What you said, though, makes a lot of sense, and I think is often overlooked by gamblers.
Ken will go on record later in the show. Again, in the final segment of our program, he'll come with his top three plays for the week. And you are confident, Ken, that money will again move your way. Your sources, according to Stephen Nover, are impeccable. You have the best information in the business. And you think money will pour in on your three sides this week. I'm wondering, Ken, what's the protocol with the offshore wagering? When can you bet full limits on these pro and college football games? You always mention Billy Walters. When can BW get down for the full limits on these pro and college football games?
Well, it used to be only day of the game that you could get down full limits, but I guess because of the competitive nature of the industry and the fact now that the numbers are getting better, the offshore sportsbooks will allow full limits one day before the games. So on Friday night, I don't know exactly what time they're allowed full limits, but it's sometime on Friday that anyone can bet full limits on the college games on Saturday.
Ken, you called Billy Walters your mentor. Does BW consider you a student?
I would say so. When I first met Billy, I asked him right off the bat if I could possibly learn from him, and he just told me in Billy's style to just shut up and listen, and I can't help but learn, and I did. I'm very grateful for the time I spent watching and observing the way the man plays against the bookmakers. It's just fascinating as a sports fan and a gambling fanatic to see someone week in and week out drill bookmakers. I didn't think it was possible, John, until I saw it unfold behind my very eyes for five straight years. He didn't lose one of those years, John. Not one.
5 years, five winning years. What's your relationship with Billy Walters today?
I would say we're on neutral terms. He's still doing what he's got to do. I do what I do. Our paths don't cross. I try not to get in his way when it involves sports betting. So if I get information on a Billy game, I'll make sure I'm not in his way. And that means I don't take a number off of the Don Best screen. That's his game. It's called respecting the source.
How many games does Billy bet per week? How many games will he have in action on Saturday? And what about Sunday's NFL card?
Many more than people realize. It's not unusual for Billy to have 40 bets on a Saturday college football afternoon. 40. And that's including a lot of totals as well as sides. And he's now betting first halves and half times, which wasn't part of the repertoire when I was working with Billy. And on Sunday, he bets a little bit less, but beware of a Billy Walters football NFL teaser. They're killers, John. And a lot of bookmakers are aware of that. And for instance, Pinnacle will not move off of a three. Let's just say a game is at 2.5, and a lot of people can tease the game. Let's just say a game's 8.5, and Pinnacle will have it at 9, because if you tease a game 6 points, you tease it to 3, where you only get a push on it. But a lot of other books will still stay at the 8.5, so a gambler that's using a 6-point teaser can tease it to 2.5. My point is that the sports books now will stay at ridiculous numbers like 9 plus 15 in order to prevent gamblers from being able to go through the 3 on teasers, all because of Billy Walters.
That teaser strategy is strong. I remember a story a few years back. The Stratosphere was accepting $50,000 two-team 6-point teasers from Billy Walters. That lasted a couple of weeks until Billy brought them to their knees. And Billy, in terms of the volume, Ken. Is it proprietary information, or can you tell us what kind of money he's moving on these games, both pro and college football?
I think it would be proprietary, but I can say that you're talking, you know, six figures a game, and I'll leave it at that.
We'll step aside and take a quick timeout right here. When we return, a third voice to join the program, Aaron Renning of the Sports Memo Radio Show, to talk about today's Major League Baseball playoff action. You're listening to Winning Wednesdays.
Ready for true mobility? Bookmaker Mobile gives you a whole new way to wager, anytime, anywhere. Simply browsing WAP.bookmaker.com from your cell phone or PDA, you can start accessing the betting world. Placing a wager has never been this easy. Review open wagers, check out your history, or even check out your balance, all from the palm of your hand. Now, when, where, and how you bet is entirely up to you. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
Old school meets new school. You want a bookmaker you can trust, one that's established, secure, and offers more per play. You want Bookmaker.com. At Bookmaker.com, you can win big and play safe 24/7, 365. From international sports to all styles of racing to casino games and poker tournaments, play with confidence at Bookmaker.com. Sign up today and get a 20% bonus and earn free plays with our exclusive loyalty program. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Time for more Winning Wednesdays. Here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner.
And we are back. John Kelly with Ken Weitzner now, joined by Aaron Renning of the Sports Memo Radio Show. I respect ER's opinion when it comes to baseball. I also like his NBA opinion as well. And he can handicap football, both pro and college football. And I prepped Aaron for what we'll discuss on today's show. We're going to discuss the four Major League Baseball series coming up today and tomorrow. But how about a quickie quiz for ER to start the show? Aaron, I know you're not part of that Tuesday group that visits here in Las Vegas every week. Guys like Fezzik, Ted Savransky, Brian Leonard, and Charlie J. Stephen Nover is there. About 15 or 20 of the sharpest handicappers around get together every Tuesday and discuss the coming week's action. But there was something brought up at that meeting yesterday, ER, that I think you'll find interesting. Charlie J was talking about college football totals, and he said that scoring in college football this year is down slightly. He says thus far we've had 116 overs and 126 unders. My question to you, ER, off the cuff, what's the average number of points scored in a college football game this year? This information, compliments of Charlie J. Take a stab, ER, on the average number of points scored in a college football game this year.
The average this year, I would say like 51.25 points.
Oh, you are good. 50.71, according to Charlie J. And, boy, that is
close. And that's just a little bit down, you're right.
It is just a little bit down from last year's numbers. And it's information like that, ER, that makes Charlie J. a winner. I believe last year, he was tracked, and he had 119 wins against 53 losses betting college football totals. That's a weakness in the market, Aaron. Oddsmakers, they can't seem to figure out where to place these college football totals.
No, I agree. And first off, thanks you, JK, for having me, and of course the shrink as well. It's been a while since we did a little radio together, JK. But no, I've been working very hard. In fact, I decided to really pattern my college football on the totals and, of course, Big Ten play. As well, I like the Big Ten. I always do well in the Big Ten. So I'm more into totals. It's funny because I had 51.36 as the average score this year, so I'm not sure which numbers are which, but it's right there. I've been working on totals, and you can really beat them the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, especially just like college basketball, the first 2 months, the first 6 weeks of the season when teams make the off-season changes. I mean, these numbers can be off way more than they'll ever be on a side.
Aaron is here to talk baseball. How, Aaron, is postseason baseball different than the regular season?
I think you get a little bit truer outcome. It's tricky because, you know, these five-game series, anything can happen. But for the most part, you can handicap the best players on these teams. And I like it most because the regular season. That's why I'm a big five-inning guy, J.K., because you get into the late inning, seventh, eighth, and ninth. We saw it even yesterday in the play-in game. You just get some wacky results in the late innings. You don't know which pitchers are going to be used. And for the most part, when the game is on the line, you know that these teams are going to have their two or three best guys out of the bullpen pitching in the late innings.
Yes, betting the first five innings, you taught me a few years ago, Aaron. You take the manager out of the game. You take the bullpens out of the game. You know what you're going to get when you bet the first five innings. You've got the starting pitchers and you know the lineups.
It's so much different than, you know, betting a first half in the NFL or a first half in a college basketball game or what have you, because it's so much different from what the second half could look like in a game. Now, it was one of the best, sportsbook offerings in my mind. I'm a big starting pitcher guy. I know these starting pitchers very well. It was one of the best bet offerings in the last few years. It's been great. I love it.
I'm going to ask Aaron today for his best bet today. I'll also ask him for his best divisional series bet, and we'll also ask him for a World Series prediction. But first, Aaron, let's discuss the matchups and the order in which they'll begin play. The first baseball action of the day will feature Game 1 of the National League Division Series between the defending World Series champion Philadelphia Phillies and the 2007 NL champs, the Colorado Rockies. The Game 1 matchup has Ubaldo Jimenez going up against Cliff Lee. Lee right now is a $1.35 favorite. The total on the game, we heard Shrink talk about this earlier, 8 over minus 16. For the series, Philadelphia minus $1.65. The take back on Colorado plus $1.45. Your thoughts on Game 1 and the series between Phillies and the Rockies?
This is a series with so many different matchups. It makes it really intriguing because I think Colorado owns some strong matchup possibilities, and on the flip side, so does Philadelphia. I know you talked about, or you think this, J.K., the loss of De La Rosa, the left-handed pitcher here for Colorado, makes a big difference because you have all these left-handers in the Phillies lineup that match up well with him, and has a weaker split to the left side. Aaron Cook, tomorrow's starter, is weaker to the left-handed bat. On and on, Hamill and Jason Marquis as well. So that's going to be a big matchup advantage for Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, a few other guys on this Philadelphia team. And how about this for a good matchup for Colorado now? They have really become more of a ground ball pitching team. In fact, the second highest ground ball to fly ball ratio. And the highest is good, of course, pitching in Coors Field and really pitching in today's baseball game, although that's changed a little bit over the last couple of years as well. The second highest ground ball ratio in the National League. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Phillies led the National League in home runs, I believe, with 224 home runs. So it's power versus the ground ball. You go back to the 2007 series, J.K., in three games when they met, Colorado swept them. The Phillies hit five home runs. The problem, they were all five solo shots. So the Phillies have to get guys on base. We'll see if they can do that. I like Jimenez in this matchup today. I think he's the most underrated pitcher in the playoffs. I think he's better than Lee. Now, he's only allowed 13 home runs all season, which is amazing, pitching in Coors Field for half of his games. 218 innings, you're talking about someone who can throw 97, 98, 99 miles an hour. Plus, he's got an unbelievable changeup and curveball. I haven't quite figured out Cliff Lee yet. He's a real control pitcher. I have the umpire rotations here if you want them as well. The crew chief in this one, Jerry Davis, he's a little bit more of a hitter's umpire. I think that's better for Jimenez as well. So I like Jimenez over Lee in this matchup. I think he's the better pitcher. I like power. Power wins in October. Jimenez is more of a power pitcher here.
Yeah, power over finesse in the postseason. That's a good basic strategy. Our friend Tim Patterson, I know at EOG.com, a poster there, he made a case for Colorado to win the series. If you're backing Philadelphia, Aaron, if someone likes the Phillies' chances, what's up with Brad Lidge? He was dominant last year. He's not the same Lidge this year.
It's crazy. I mean, these relief pitchers are fickle. That's why, Mariano the Great, who's done it for so long, and obviously so well, is just such a rare commodity. I mean, you just don't know. These guys are fickle, and probably a lot of it's just kind of bad luck, and one thing leads to another. But this Phillies bullpen is certainly a mess, and Colorado has kind of solidified it a little bit more towards the end of the year. They added Betancourt from Cleveland. Joe Bimel's going to be huge coming out of the Colorado bullpen. How he does in this series just might reflect. And really, when we talk about the series price on this one, guys, I think just a gruesome error by Charlie Manuel, the Philadelphia Phillies manager. He pitches Cole Hamels, of course, last year's all-everything MVP in the playoffs, pitches him on Saturday, so he cannot bring him back here for Game 1. That means if this goes five, he can only get one start from Cole Hamels. I would much rather have Hamels for two games than Cliff Lee for two games. He's been there, done that, a good matchup against this Colorado team. I mean, just a terrible, like I said, just a brutal error by Charlie Manuel.
How about the middle game of today's triple-header, Aaron? In New York, the Yankees take on the Twins. Minnesota forced to wheel back quickly. Sabathia and Dunsing, the pitching matchup. The Yankees minus 365 to win today's game. The total 9.5 under for the series. Pinnacle right now is dealing the Yankees at minus 420. Your thoughts on the Yanks and the Twins?
Well, how perfectly does this work out for the New York Yankees? And it's reflected in the price. I mean, wow, how about a playoff game? When you have almost a 4-1 favorite in CC Sabathia, it's hard to really dig in and come up with a firm opinion. I mean, certainly hard to lay the price here. But yeah, I mean, Minnesota gets maybe 1 hour to celebrate this. They have to move on. I mean, just crazy scheduling quirks here. Joe Nathan worked hard yesterday, so this bullpen's going to be short. And Dunsing, and he was really about their eighth or ninth option. They went with a couple of other young arms. Even veteran arms to make this rotation. Dunsing has come on and pitched well for this team. You like that he's left-handed, a little bit more of a ground ball guy. I mean, he's done good work, 84 innings of work, a 3.64 ERA. Unfortunately, he's no CC Sabathia here. And how about the way it works out here for the Yankees? In this series, they only have to use three starting pitchers the way it sets up. They don't have to play their fourth game until Monday, I believe. So CC Sabathia gets to pitch twice. I think Pettit or Burnett will get to pitch twice as well. So this series certainly sets up for the Yankees, and they've been good all year. I've always, the last couple of years, I've bet against this Yankee team quite a bit. I haven't this year. The bullpen has pitched so much better. How about the chemistry that we see on this Yankee team? Just unlike we've seen in years past as well. So the Yankees are for real this season, and I think to a certain degree these prices in the series, today's games, are pretty justified.
The late game tonight at Dodger Stadium, the Dodgers play host to the St. Louis Cardinals, the NLDS best of five. The Cardinals send Carpenter to the hill against the Dodgers. Randy Wolf, Carpenter at minus $1.40. The total 7 under, minus 15 for the series. St. Louis, minus $1.40. Cardinals won 5 of 7 matchups in the regular season. Cardinals have that nice edge of not only having one ace, but two, Carpenter and Wainwright, while the Dodgers, Aaron, they're a team without an ace. They've got Wolf, they've got Kershaw, but, no real stars in that Dodger pitching staff.
And that makes this an intriguing series as well, because you have a top-heavy team in the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, what would the Cardinals be? You take away Carpenter, Wainwright, and Pujols. I mean, you have a pretty poor Major League Baseball team. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, yes, they're very good. They're above average at just about every position. But, Manny Ramirez on the decline. You don't have that dominator. You don't have that Albert Pujols in this lineup. So that makes this series intriguing. I think the Dodgers peaked a little bit early. Obviously, they played tremendous baseball the first, well, I guess you could say 75% of the season, but I just don't like the way the season ended here for the LA Dodgers. But that's it. I mean, the Dodgers win this game against Carpenter tonight. Boy, that really puts St. Louis behind the eight ball in my mind. I like Carpenter here tonight, one of the best overall pitchers in baseball, obviously. I mean, with him and Wainwright, that is a awfully strong 1-2 combination. The home runs allowed by Carpenter, 7 home runs allowed in 192 innings. We all know the long ball is so crucial. I don't think Randy Wolf's healthy here. He 3.28 ERA. He missed some time recently with a little bit of a bad elbow. He took a cortisone shot in that elbow, and generally these guys pop back real strong after that cortisone shot. He did not. He was shaky. His command wasn't there last out against Colorado. Watched a lot of that game. Four walks, two strikeouts in that game. So if you're looking to play this game, I recommend, if you're playing St. Louis, to play it on the five-inning line, Carpenter against Wolf. What scares me in this series, I think I like the Cardinals, but the bullpen, the late innings, I think the Dodgers are so much more well-suited in that bullpen. You have Broxton, again, power guy. Sherrill's come on and done strong. Quo, another power guy from the left-handed side. St. Louis Cardinals bullpen's a little bit more smoke and mirrors. Franklin was just kind of more of a regular season guy. La Russa manages the bullpen awfully well, but that's the big hang-up for me. The Dodgers have the better bullpen than the Cardinals here.
You're listening to Winning Wednesdays. John Kelly and Ken Weitzner. We're joined by Aaron Renning. We're discussing the Major League Baseball playoffs. One more series to discuss. It will not begin until tomorrow in Anaheim when the Angels host the Boston Red Sox. Lackey and Lester. Lester a slight favorite, -$1.10. The total 8 over. The series price has Boston at -$1.30. The Red Sox own the Angels in the postseason. Boston 12-1 in their last 13 meetings against the LA Angels. Jonathan Papelbon, the Boston closer, is unhittable in the postseason. Papelbon has not allowed a run in 25 innings of work. Aaron, you mentioned Mariano Rivera and what he's done throughout his career. Jonathan Papelbon, not far behind.
Yeah, well, he's pretty far behind. He would have to go a long way. A lot of postseason heroics. And I mean, even Papelbon in some big spots hasn't come through for this Boston team the last couple of years. That's what makes Rivera so good. In the big spots, he's been so very good. And, of course, he's going to have a couple blemishes going against him. But certainly, take nothing away. Papelbon's very good. If you go by the regular season, I'm not exactly sure how the Angels were able to do it. I mean, a masterful job by Socha here with this team. No question in my mind, the manager of the year. And really just to put this rotation together back and forth. Weaver's been the one constant, but Lackey's been banged up. Santana's been all over the place. Kazmir, what a great pickup I think that was. He's going to be pitching his best baseball. In fact, all these guys might be pitching their best baseball as we get to the postseason. Concerning here is that Angels bullpen. Of course, they've had K-Rod over the years. Now you have more of that soft tosser with Fuentes. I'm not sure I trust him in a big spot. You know, the rest of these guys, Darren Oliver, Kevin Jepsen. Regular season, these guys were able to get it done. But in the late innings in Fenway Park against this patient Boston lineup, I'm not sure if they can do the trick. Meanwhile, on the flip side, you have Boston, as you mentioned, Papelbon, Billy Wagner. They have great depth. You add a power guy, Billy Wagner, just kind of on the throw-in for this team. And, you have Lester and Beckett, two power arms from either side of the plate to start 1-2 in this series. Now, Beckett, it's concerning because he hasn't been exactly right all season, especially down the stretch here. That is concerned. But, boy, John Lester's been awfully good. I prefer Lester over Lackey here today and Beckett over Weaver. I think especially we might see some runs in that game tomorrow. I'm not sure Beckett or Weaver are 100% here moving into the postseason. I think the left-handed bats from Boston can really give Weaver some problems in this series. So I prefer Boston in the series here. And it's going to be a nip and tug. I mean, it's going to be five games here.
Ken Weitzner, say hello to Aaron Renning.
Hi, Aaron. Great job of recapping the playoffs. I appreciate having you as a guest today.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me, Shrink.
I just have one quick question to ask you, and that is how do you use umpire information when capping baseball, and how much does that really weigh into your analysis of a ball game?
It's more so for the totals, obviously. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, I mean, you could really make some hay with the umpires. That's changed to some degree with Questech, but I think you could see it clearly in yesterday's play-in game. Randy Marsh behind the plate. He was a hitter's umpire, and it turned out that way. The game goes over the total. So, today we have the matchups. Again, Jerry Davis is in Philadelphia here, and these are the crew chiefs. You expect them to be behind home plate. In L.A., St. Louis, Dana DeMuth for the Yankees series, Tim Cheetah and Joe West going to be the crew chief here in Anaheim and Boston. So it certainly comes into play. I adjust for it with certain umpires. Randy Marsh yesterday was one of them. Jerry Davis is one for me. He's more of an over umpire. So you have to at least put it in the equation.
That's the
force of Aaron. Thank you very much for answering that question, Aaron, and good luck to you.
All right, thanks.
Shrink with all the gambling angles, wanting to know about the umpires and how it affects gambling, and ER's talking about betting baseball totals and how important a factor that can be, who the home plate umpire assignment. Aaron, let's get you on record before you leave us. I wanted the answer to three questions. First off, what's your best bet today, the single bet we can trust from you today? What is that?
Colorado on the five-inning line. That's my best play today. You can find that, plus about 120, 125. Again, I like Jimenez at the plus price. A little more ground ball pitcher. We'll see how Cliff Lee does here in the postseason, but my money's on Jimenez today.
The best division series price available. What's the one series you're most confident in?
I tell you what, Jake, I from more than I remember, this is one of the most exciting playoffs because these teams are very equal in my mind. You take away the Minnesota Twins probably out of that. I mean, it was certainly something else how they made the playoffs, but the rest of these teams, there's not that much difference. And we just, you know, the great names, a lot of postseason history with some of these names. You have MVPs in the playoffs here as well. But the one I like the matchups here. I think Boston somewhat has the Angels number, and it's hard to go against Ocean, what the Angels have done all season long. But as the Red Sox have shown, when it gets in the postseason, they're built a little bit more. So I like the Red Sox at virtually the pick 'em price. Lay $1.10 in that series.
Red Sox over the Angels in the best of five ALDS. And now the biggie, the World Series prediction. Who meets in late October, early November, and who eventually wins it?
Boy, it's not easy. I can't step in front of the Yankees. The Yankees have been that team. They added the right players this year. You add a Teixeira. You add a CC Sabathia. I mean, they're going to pay big money no matter who they get, but they're adding the right players to the mix. The chemistry's been good. You have a lot going their way. They have had the Red Sox number. That's going to be crucial here as we perhaps get into the American League finals here in this one. In the National League, again, boy, it is a toss-up in my opinion. I like the Cardinals just by a hair. You just have these guys that can dominate the postseason. That's what you want. You have a Carpenter, a Wainwright. They could carve through this National League and be that good. And, of course, you have Albert Pujols. And I still respect Tony La Russa. I mean, managers make a difference. He could make a difference here. So I'll take the Yankees over the Cardinals.
Yankees over the Cardinals and the Yankees to win it all then, ER?
Yeah, and it's hard for me to say that. I'm not a big big guy for the big markets, but the Yankees are that good this season.
I think it's time for them to end their World Series drought. It's been since 2000 that the Yankees won a World Championship, and I think those Yankee veterans, guys like Damon and Jeter, Posada and A-Rod, I think they've got the right mix now. You mentioned the additions of Sabathia and Teixeira, and don't discount their eighth-inning guy, their setup man. I think he's one of the most valuable players on the team, and I think it will prove out in the postseason, ER. Phillip Hughes has been dominant this season.
Yeah, he's been very – and that's what they've needed. You know, they've tried and gone out and spent all this different money on starting pitchers and everyday guys, but once they moved Chamberlain out of that seventh, eighth-inning spot, they had nowhere to go, really going back to last year. So that's been crucial for this team. They've been way better off in that bullpen. If A.J. Burnett pitches well in the postseason, I think the Yankees will definitely – I think he's the key link. He's the guy that could be had on this team and really cost them because, you know, A.J. Burnett, he can give up 8 runs one game and 0 the next game. You just don't know exactly what you're going to get from him. If he's good and he's a power guy, boy, the Yankees are going to be tough to beat.
Aaron, thanks so much for your time. Keep up your good work at Sports Memo. SportsMemo.com is the website. Aaron sells selections there. He's a featured guest on Tim Trusial's radio program every weekday afternoon here in Las Vegas on Fox Sports Radio 920. ER, thanks for your efforts today.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys, and good luck this weekend. Of course, the postseason playoffs, and hopefully talk to you soon. NBA right around the corner, JK.
And Aaron, if ever you have a chance, visit EOG.com. We'd love to have you as a poster at EOG.com.
Hopefully I'll get some NBA halftimes up there. Thank you.
Aaron Renning on the program. We'll step aside and take the final time out of the program. When we return, your link to the shrink. He's given us 12 selections, 8 of the 12 have won. He's going to go on record with 3 more plays for the weekend action. You're listening to Winning Wednesdays.
School meets new school. You want a bookmaker you can trust. One that's established, secure, and offers more per play. You want bookmaker.com. At bookmaker.com, you can win big and play safe 24/7, 365. From international sports to all styles of racing to casino games and poker tournaments, play with confidence at bookmaker.com. Sign up today and get a 20% bonus and earn free plays with our exclusive loyalty program. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
Ready for true mobility? Bookmaker Mobile gives you a whole new way to wager. Anytime, anywhere. Simply browsing WAP.bookmaker.com from your cell phone or PDA, you can start accessing the betting world. Placing a wager has never been this easy. Review open wagers, check out your history, or even check out your balance, all from the palm of your hand. Now, when, where, and how you bet is entirely up to you. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
Across the country and around the world, this is TalkZone.com, the best in Internet talk radio. Let's return to Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone. Once again, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner.
And we are back. John Kelly with Ken Weitzner. Join us next Wednesday when Ted Sobranski will be our featured guest. Ted is also part of that Sports Memo radio show. It's a very popular program here in Las Vegas. And Ken, the more guests we can recruit like Aaron Renning and Ted Sobranski, I think the better the show. ER knows baseball.
He sure came across as somebody that knew his baseball. And you're right. We try to get the guests, and I'm very grateful for the selection of handicappers you've been able to select, John. So I credit you with making our show a lot stronger with the weapons you've been bringing on week in and week out.
Still to come on the program, Fezzik is confirmed for the first Wednesday in December. I'm going to make a phone call to Jimmy Vaccaro of Lucky's, Richard Witt of the New York Post. He's a longtime friend of mine. We'll ask Richard to appear on the program to talk NFL football, and I've got to call in to Hammer and Hank Goldberg of ESPN. Hank's a big name in the gambling industry, and of course with ESPN, what a platform that is for him to get the word out. Gambling is good, and Hank is a gambling advocate. We'll try to recruit him on a future program. I did see him at the Gamblers Book Club a couple of weeks ago and visited with Hammer and Hank for about an hour. Shrink, you led off the program talking about a baseball total in Philadelphia, and sure enough, that total has moved. You took 8 over minus $1.16 at Pinnacle. Big wager. They only moved it a penny. They should have moved it a lot more, Shrink. Currently, the price on that total is 8.5 over minus 15 at Chris, 8.5 over minus 16 at Pinnacle, 8.5 over minus 20 at Five Dimes. Your information is currently in the marketplace.
Yep, and I told people to get on it quickly, and I guess other people have caught on, too, to the win factor at Philadelphia stadium today. So we'll see how that plays out. It's nice to have a half of a run, the better of it in baseball, I imagine.
I have a winner tonight, Ken, in the WNBA, a league that I follow closely. I know a lot of gamblers and a lot of sports fans dislike the product, but I love the WNBA. And game 4 of the WNBA finals goes tonight in Indianapolis. Indiana is a slight favorite over Phoenix. I took Phoenix plus 2.5 yesterday. I'm confident that money will pour in on Phoenix today. Phoenix could actually close the favorite. They've got the wrong team favored. Indiana is vulnerable tonight, and I think Phoenix, behind Diana Taurasi, Cappy Pondexter, Penny Taylor, and others, will defeat Indiana. So I like Phoenix to defeat Indiana. I didn't take any of the money line at plus $1.20. I took plus 2.5. But Phoenix will win this game straight up, in my humble opinion, and I like Phoenix to beat Indiana tonight. That'll be my top play on tonight's card. Ken Weitzner, we're ready for your 3 selections to wrap up the program. Again, Ken has been good to us. 8 wins, 4 losses from 12 plays. We'll track him all football season long. Traditionally, you give us two plays in the colleges, one play in the pros. Is that your format this weekend?
It sure will be, and I'm going to start out taking probably a very unpopular position here, and I'm going to take Arkansas getting 3 points today, or at least on Saturday. Who are they playing? John, I'm blocking out here.
Auburn.
Arkansas is playing Auburn. And I think a lot of players or a lot of people I know think that Auburn's a very, very strong team this year. But this is going to be a very, very big game. It's being played in Arkansas. And I think the Arkansas offense has been looking a lot better this year than they have in the past. They had an off day against Alabama, but this year they've done it in three of the four games, which is scoring 40 points or more. And in two of those games, they were against the likes of Georgia and Texas A&M, both foes from the BSC conferences. So that certainly bodes well for their offense. And this is a game, I guess, I know where the line's going to head. I'm not going to fake anyone out and say that I know, you know, 10 players from each team are going to match up better than the other 10 players from the other team. But you're not going to get three come Saturday. Bottom line is this game's going to get hit, and it's going to be Arkansas. They're the right side. Take the 3 points.
Take the home dog in the SEC game between Arkansas and Auburn. Ken Weitzner makes a case for Arkansas plus 3 over Auburn. Grab the 3 now. Ken says it will disappear by Saturday. And Brent Carter, who's a poker pro in this city, Ken, he once had a good line when I asked him, what's the definition of a smart bet? And Brent answered by saying, it's a wager where when you place the bet, when you get the number that you want, and it disappears. You know, it's no longer available anywhere else, and it never reappears. That's the definition of a good bet. When you have your ticket in your pocket, and it has a number on it that is no longer available come game time.
Well, you mentioned it earlier in the broadcast that on 10 out of my 12 games that I've released so far, if you had bet the line when I released it, you'd have already won the ticket according to your definition of a winning bet. Unfortunately, I'm at 67%, not at 80-something percent, but we'll accept 67%, John. And on to my next selection. I'm going to go with a total that I think is going to crash, and it's the Texas Longhorns under 61 against Colorado. Now, the whole world knows that Texas is a scoring machine, but I'm basing this on a couple of factors besides line movement, the major one being Colorado having a pathetic offense. Colorado just was unable to build on a victory that they had against Wyoming on September 19th, and they got set back at West Virginia. They've suffered from a lack of overall production from the ground game. They only averaged 93 point yards per game. They rely heavily on the pass game. And what's lost in this equation, too, is how good the Texas Longhorns defense is. So I expect Texas to come in and just, you know, blow this Colorado team to smithereens. But I just don't see the two teams combined going over 61. I think come Saturday, some of the expert connections I have are going to be playing the under, John. So under is my play.
The second of three plays from the shrink, Texas and Colorado to go under the total of 61. Two plays in, one more to come. It'll come in the NFL on Sunday. And this one, we may have to hold our nose, Ken.
Well, somebody has to take this team, and I guess I'm going to. And we're talking about probably one of the worst teams and worst franchises in the history of the NFL in a long time. We're talking about those Oakland Raiders getting 16 points on the road against arguably the best team in the NFL, being the New York Giants. So why on earth would I take plus 16 against, you know, a team that's, you know, in complete turmoil? The coach, you know, getting charges on knocking out an assistant coach, and a team in complete disarray. Well, I'll tell you why I'll take them. Both teams are banged up for this game. A lot of question marks exist, and you're dealing with what I call a very, very low total in the NFL, and that's really a key in the handicapping of this game for me. You're talking about a total of 38 points. which indicates to me that the game is going to be low scoring. And anytime I can get 16 points in an NFL game that has a total of 38, I'm just going to take the 16 points, even if it's the Oakland Raiders. And I know there's a correlation here, but if you can absolutely get away with it, which you shouldn't be able to, anytime there's a ratio of 1-3 on the side to the total, you should bet that as a parlay. So if you're fortunate enough to have a bookie that takes correlated parlay, most people can't get down on it. You want to take the under along with the Oakland Raiders. But if you had to just play one NFL game, I like Oakland getting 16. No one else likes them, but I do. There's a game next week that the Giants have got to be looking forward to or ahead to, which is against the New Orleans Saints on the road. There's just no reason for the Giants to rub it in. It's not like they're a division rivalry or anything like that. So I expect this to be a much more competitive game than the odds makers who have to make a line 16. And it gets very dangerous when you get out of the usual, you know, pick it to 7. It's dangerous in the NFL giving out a line this high. So when it's this high, I'm going to go right through the door and take Oakland.
You are a brave man. The Raiders plus 16 over the Giants, the third of three selections from the Shrink. Who am I to argue, though? The Shrink, 8-4 from his 12 plays, will continue to track him throughout the football season. So again, Ken Weitzner's three selections: Arkansas plus 3 over Auburn, Texas and Colorado under the total of 61, and the Oakland Raiders plus 16 over the New York Giants. Do note that the Oakland Raiders, since losing the Super Bowl 6 years ago to Tampa, they are 34-64-1 against the spread. Ken, I wish I would have been betting against the Raiders every single week. Can you imagine that winning percentage over time? Hitting about 65% of your plays just on a blind bet against the Raiders the last 6 years. But as we know in the NFL, things turn around, and maybe now, buying on the bad news is the Oakland Raiders. Maybe now the Raiders will go on a bit of a point spread run.
And conversely, I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but the Giants have been quite the opposite over the last year and a half, with an astounding something like 70% against the point spread in the last 25 games, John.
Ken, excellent information today. We're going to do it again next Wednesday. Of course, we'll be through the posting forums as well at EOG.com. I mentioned Ted Sobranski is our featured guest next week. I want to put in a call to OSU Cowboys. He's a poster at EOG.com. You're friendly, Ken, with OSU Cowboys. I would love to recruit him to the program on a future show.
Count on it, John. It's going to happen.
Sounds good. That'll wrap up our program. For Ken Weitzner, I'm John Kelly. Special thanks to Aaron Renning. Thanks for listening to Winning Wednesdays. It's your link to the Shrink here on TalkZone.com.